Hi, everybody. We're a daily show. We hold no punches, so continue to look for it. Truth bomb number one. The U.S. media is fascinated with Russian drug arrests. Truth bomb number two. The U.S. media doesn't cover those same stories when they occur here. Truth bomb number three. Brittany Griner is not a victim who deserves to be celebrated for her marijuana arrest. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. This is really an important story, and here's why. There is, it seems, a wild and crazy fascination in the U.S. media with drug cases in Russia. It's weird. It's almost nonsensical. As we go, I'm going to show you just how incredibly dumb, I mean, incredibly hypocritical our coverage is in this country of those types of stories. So, okay, let's just start with this. And this is the reason I'm doing this story, because yesterday I turned on the news here in the good old USA, and this is what I saw.
A U.S. citizen living in Russia appeared in court today. Robert Wolin Robinov is facing charges of trafficking large amounts of illegal drugs as part of an organized group. The offense is punishable by 20 years in prison. Romanov has been in Russian custody since the beginning of the year. His trial began in March. In January, the U.S. State Department said it was aware of Romanov's detainment and has no greater priority than the safety and security of U.S. citizens.
Okay, I saw that, so I looked it up, and then I found that story was just about everywhere. So now I have to ask you a question. After you watch that story, after I watch that story, and the question is, who cares? Some guy was arrested in Russia for drug charges? I mean, it's interesting, perhaps, to maybe him. It certainly is interesting to his family. Maybe he's guilty. Maybe he's not guilty. Who the hell knows? And it may be important in the community where he lives or perhaps where he comes from. But other than that, why are we talking about it? Why is that story making headlines in Western newspapers and in television newscasts all over the United States? By the way, if we're going to do a story every time a foreigner is arrested for drug violations, then here in the U.S., there would be no room for any other stories. So far, just this year, I looked it up. You know, the number of people that have been arrested, no, prosecuted in the United States so far this year, 807 prosecutions for drug charges by U.S. or by non-U.S. citizens. Keyword, prosecutions, 807, just this year. That means there were double or triple the number of actual arrests. How many among those thousands made national news? I can't name any, can you? Of foreigners who were arrested in the United States because they apparently, you know, were arrested for some kind of drug charge? But boy, I'll tell you what, one Westerner is arrested on drug charges in Russia, and it's time for alarm bells and breaking news and buzzers go off everywhere. It's like you can almost set your watch to it. Arrest somebody in Russia? Ready to go? Look, here's another.
Russian media reporting an American has been arrested in Russia on drug trafficking charges. Russian TV showing images of Michael Travis Leek in court, his mother confirming. He's also seen on video. Russian media posted online of Leek refusing to admit guilt.
An American arrested in Russia. Woo! Big story. That's a national newscast. That's ABC National News. It's kind of shocking to me. Oh, and he refused to admit guilt, right? He says he refused to admit guilt. Well, then, that's it. Must be a legitimate story. He says he didn't do it. Again, I don't know much about that case either. And with all due respect to him and his family, I don't really care. Then there's the case of Brittany Griner. For months, this thing was, I mean, you guessed it, breaking news.
Breaking news out of Russia as well. A court there has upheld the 9-year prison sentence for U.S. basketball star Brittany Griner. That decision just a few minutes ago. Griner was arrested back in February at a Moscow airport. She had vape cartridges containing cannabis oil, which is banned in Russia.
Now, granted, this case is a little different. The case against Griner is newsworthy because, after all, she was a celebrity basketball player who got caught in Russia getting off a plane with marijuana in the form of an oil that she was going to use for vaping, right? So in her case, I can see where it's a story. It's a legitimate story. The other ones, no. However, the way it was played, making her out to be the poor victim taken advantage of by big, bad Russia, that was kind of ludicrous, don't you think? I mean, if she'd been arrested in Alabama or if she'd been arrested in France for the same exact thing, that story would have been covered completely differently. And by the way, that could have happened because the laws in Alabama are pretty much the same as they are in Russia. And by the way, I don't agree with Russia's law, okay? I'm not trying to say, oh, yeah, Russia's got this figured out when it comes to that. I'm not saying that at all. Or their decision to arrest someone for marijuana oil. But you know what? It's their country, and therefore, it's their laws. And if you're going to get on a plane and go to another country, you may want to know what's legal and what is not legal there before you get on the plane, right? And if you don't know and you break their law, no matter what that law happens to be, shame on you. Shame on you for being either ignorant or too self-important to care about what another country's law is before you get on a plane and go there. I mean, talk about the ugly American syndrome. I don't care what your laws are. I only go by my laws. That's stupid, okay? So I'm not defending either side here. Why do Western national media companies, like the one you just saw that I showed you, constantly harp on every single drug arrest in Russia? First of all, it's because they have an obvious bias against Russia, right? I mean, you know that, I know that, duh. They're always going to do negative stories coming out of Russia and rarely do any positive stories that come out of Russia. Fine. But let me give my colleagues in the media the benefit of the doubt and suppose that the reason they're doing this story is because they want to criticize unfair or draconian laws that should have been changed, especially when it comes to some drug violations. Not all. I'm not talking about heroin or selling stuff here. Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and suppose that's what they're doing, right? If that's the case, then what we need is a very large mirror so that we could take a really good look at ourselves, because nowhere in the world, or probably in the history of the world, are more people arrested for drugs, most of the time unfairly, than right here in the good old USA.
Marijuana, one of the most dangerous drugs known to mankind. Responsible for almost as many deaths per year as asteroids or shark attacks, it can cause an otherwise healthy adult to giggle or get a bit hungry. Thankfully, the brave men and women from numerous agencies have been waging a tireless and expensive war against this dangerous plant for decades.
The war on drugs is a war on the people. It's a war to fight for the pharmaceutical industry so they could sell their psychotropic drugs. I mean, Jesus, how many people that I hear horror stories from, their children whacked out on Vicodin. Oh, that's a beaut. Yeah, how about a little OxyContin, you know, to make you happy? Feel some pain, this will get rid of it.
That's from a documentary. It's called The Illusion of Democracy. You should watch it, it's pretty good. Think about that, though. 440,000 people die from cigarette smoking. 106,000 people die from pharmaceutical drugs. 41,000 people die every year from alcohol. And you know how many die from marijuana? Zero. By the way, look, I'm not here, don't think of that I'm sitting here advocating for marijuana. I'm not. But these numbers, when you look at them, it makes you wonder what the hell's going on, right?
There are 800,000 people a year arrested in the United States on marijuana charges, 90% for possession only. So over a 40-year period now, that's roughly 27 million people have been arrested on marijuana charges.
Did you hear what he said? 27 million people arrested in the United States of America on marijuana charges. 27 million. Where's that story? Some dude in Russia gets arrested and it's breaking news everywhere. 27 million? Oh, wait, we don't have time for that information about 27 million people being arrested and how many people die from other things, including pharmaceuticals, because we have to make room for more stories about Brittany Griner, because she was arrested in Russia. By the way, I checked. I did a Google search at the time to find out about Brittany Griner's arrest in Russia. In fact, I'm going to do it for you right now. I'm going to do the same thing that I did a little while ago, and I'm going to do a Google search. Going to it here. Let's put Brittany Griner arrest Russia. Boom. Brittany Griner arrest. 299,000 stories have been done. I'm reading this right. 299,000 stories about Brittany Griner, somebody I'd never heard of before, by the way. 299,000 stories about Brittany Griner's arrest in Russia. What does that tell you? Joining us now, Steve Gill. He's a lawyer, a radio host, and a political commentator, and a friend of the show. Steve, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. You know, I saw this story yesterday, and that's the reason I decided to put this together. So obviously, I started digging into it and putting some research together, and I thought to myself, so some dude was arrested in Russia, and it's a breaking news story on national newscast all over the United States? At some point, it may turn out to be a fascinating story, but I don't see a reason there to make that a national news story in the United States. Am I missing something?
Well, first of all, if you go to a foreign country, know what their laws are. And I would advise people, if you go to Singapore, don't throw your gum out on the street because they will cane you. Shoplift in most Middle Eastern countries, they will cut your hand off. So before you go to these places, you might need to know that they don't have this sort of tolerant approach to crimes that we generally have in the United States. By the way, I love your idea of the giant mirror so that people could check themselves. Half the people that go to Walmart dressed as they are might dress different if they looked in a mirror before they left the house.
But my point is that actually Russia is not draconian. We're draconian. We have really ridiculous drug laws. We all know that in the United States, if you're a poor young white dude or a poor African-American or a poor Hispanic guy and cops pull you over and you're smoking a marijuana cigarette, you're probably going to go to jail. But if you're a rich white kid, they're going to call your parents. We also know that there's a drug that we call cocaine and there's another one we call crack. They're the same exact drug. But black people tend to do crack. White people tend to do cocaine. So the people who do cocaine don't get the same amount of punishment that the people who do crack. There's all kinds of stories I can tell you about how ridiculous, how draconian, how unfair our drug laws are. Where's that story? Who the hell are we in the media to be going to Russia to criticize them, which is really what we're doing, because they arrested some dude for who knows what having to do with drugs? That's my point.
Well, you talk about the hypocrisy. We have states that are embracing legalization of marijuana. It is still a federal crime. So if you go to buy a gun and are buying marijuana in Colorado, you're still violating the law for having used marijuana when you go to fill out your gun form and lie by saying that you're not using any illegal drugs, because under federal law, you still are. And you're correct to point out that you've got crack cocaine that gets treated differently than cocaine because of who the users are. But you increasingly see suburban kids that are also getting a felony because they possess a little more marijuana or a little more of whatever the drug of choice is at a particular time that is enough to classify as resale. And you've got a lot of prosecutors who are wanting to make their chops by getting as many felony convictions as they can. So they put the pressure on these arrestees where if you'll plead guilty to this felony, we won't make you do any jail time, But then you've got a felony on your career record for the rest of your life, maybe denying you the ability to purchase a gun, denying you the right to vote, because prosecutors are trying to get their little check mark of how good they've been in literally extorting people to get an easy plea, that they're not thinking about the long term. And the prosecutor gets the easy settlement because somebody's going, I can't risk going to jail for 5 years. And they get no jail time, but the prosecutor gets a felony. Colorado is dealing with this interestingly. They have something called wobblers that they've put into place so that if you get convicted on a nonviolent drug charge, mm-hmm. you can have it wobble down from a felony to a misdemeanor after you've completed your interdiction without jail time. You can wobble it down to a misdemeanor so we don't have tens of thousands of felons around the country losing the ability to get work, losing the ability to vote, losing the ability to own a gun because prosecutors are getting their cheap and easy prosecutions.
Yeah, no, I've read and seen stories about young people who maybe when they just turned 18, they did something they wish they hadn't done and regretted, but nonetheless, it's on their record. And as a result of that, for the rest of their life, they, for example, can't sign forms to get themselves an apartment. They can't sign or do certain things. This is something that affects them for the rest of their life. And the point that I'm making is here we are looking at Russia and trying to make a big story out of one drug arrest when we just saw 27 million marijuana arrests in the United States, but we're focusing on one because it happened in Russia. At what point do we just wake? And I'm not here to defend Russia or their policies, nor am I saying their system is perfect. I'm just saying, where is the context? Where is the nuance? Where's the explanation to people of, well, if we're going to criticize that, we better take a good look at this, too. We don't do that.
Rick, we have five tons of fentanyl coming across our border every month. We're having over 3,000 fentanyl deaths every month, a 9/11. Literally every month from this fentanyl that's pouring across our border. And yet there are very few stories about that. When we do catch the drug mule in from Mexico with this stuff, they'll show the drugs they caught, but we don't stop it. And again, it's killing victims like another 9/11 every couple of weeks.
All right, let's do this. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up this discussion. I think it's really important. I think some of the points you made about, or maybe I made them as well. I don't know if we agree on this. I'm going to ask you about this case about Brittany Griner. I found fascinating the way she was almost hero worshipped. I want to know what you think about that. And then we're going to talk about a certain man named Bolton and who he wants to be the next president of the United States. We may have mentioned this earlier, but I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth, a horse with a very big, ugly mustache. We'll be right back.
Iran's retaliatory strike on Israel is a game changer. A new red line has been established. Tehran no longer will outsource its confrontation with Israel. Meanwhile, the Gaza genocide continues.
I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact, talking to Steve Gill, talking about how the media in this country and in most Western countries make a huge deal out of every arrest that occurs of a foreigner, especially a Westerner, inside Russia for some reason. And maybe we should ask this question. I guarantee you that today someone was arrested who is American in Germany, probably in France, probably in Great Britain, probably in almost every big country in the world, certainly in countries like Latin America, because people are arrested all the time. And they may be perfectly innocent, but they're charged. Could be a misdemeanor, could be nothing. Why is it that we never hear of those arrests, but if any American is arrested in Russia, it becomes front page news? Why?
Well, I think a lot of this is, as you mentioned earlier, it's a demonization of Russia, among other things. You've got Evan Gershon, the Wall Street Journal reporter, who is jailed for allegedly spying in Russia. You had a Chilean-American blogger who was jailed and died in prison in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And we never heard anything about that. The disparity of that treatment is also pretty egregious. Brittany Griner, if she'd been a 5'3 blonde point guard playing for a Russian team, we never would have heard much about this. Griner is about 6'6", African-American, part of the LGBTQ community. She was a cause celebrated for the Biden administration because of all those factors, not because of her guilt or innocence, but because she fit the profile they were wanting to kind of cater to in a political sense.
I don't care if she has five arms and is and likes to have sex with whatever she likes to have sex with. I don't care. I don't care where sexual orientation is. I don't care how tall she is. I don't care what color she is. I don't care about any of those things. What I do know is there's a law in Russia that says you can't fly on a plane and enter into our country with marijuana, and we are going to punish you for that law. That's all I care about. Seems to me, I haven't heard her say I didn't have it. She did break the law. Am I wrong? Isn't that all that matters?
She was playing professional basketball there. So she didn't just drop through the country and inadvertently realize she was in Russia. She had been working and playing in Russia, knew the laws. And again, I don't think she ever denied that she did it. And you're right. It shouldn't matter to you or I or anybody, her color, her race, her sexual preferences. But it mattered to the Biden administration, which is why they moved heaven and earth to get her released.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They did act more in her case than I think they would have in most cases. And frankly, I don't understand why they went that far in this case when she was plainly guilty. Now, I don't think she was treated. I don't think you should get 9 years in jail for marijuana oil. That seems silly. It's silly here and it's silly in Russia as well. But you're right. If you're going to go to another country, my God, respect their laws, no matter what the hell they may be. As you said, what did you tell us about earlier? What is it in Singapore? Tell us again.
If you throw a piece of gum from your mouth onto the sidewalk, they literally take your shirt off and beat you with a cane. Again, in most of the Middle East, you shoplift, they chop your hand off.
Yeah.
At least you might do it again, but you're not going to use that hand.
Yeah, okay, well, I got another one for you. So this is the thing that also happened this week that I thought, or at least caught my eye, and I want to see what you think about it. As you know, there's no greater hawk in America than John Bolton. And because of that, U.S. media outlets love him because they love wars. He loves wars, they love wars, so therefore they love him, right? It's like an entomime. He is their go-to expert on all things related to military, foreign policy, politics, despite the fact that he, John Bolton, never fought, nor does he seem to know squat about geopolitics. This is a man who, at one point or another, has suggested that we go to war with Russia, China, Venezuela, Iran, Cuba, just to name a few. So, in case you didn't know that, with that said, watch this breaking news on CNN when they ask him who he would vote for president.
And you've said you're going to write someone in November.
That's what I did in 2020, and I'll do it again this November.
Who did you write in 2020? You've never revealed that before.
Well, I might as well say it now. I voted for Dick Cheney.
Wow.
And I'll vote for Dick Cheney again this November.
Perfect. It's like exactly, because that's what we need. The guy who took us to war in Iraq, one of the biggest disasters in the history of our country. We need that guy back in the White House. Maybe we can get another war going. Let's go to war with Russia. No, let's fight with Iran. I don't know, Steve. I'm being silly, but what do you think?
Look, with some of these guys that want to go to war with everybody, if I'm some of these small Caribbean nations, I'm worried if they get in power because, hey, let's pick a war with somebody close for a change. And, you know, maybe if you're Aruba or Jamaica, you ought to be, you know, looking over your shoulder if Bolton gets back near the White House. And I'm not sure where his vote will actually have an impact. I mean, I don't know what state he's voting in, but I don't think it's going to swing a single state electorally with who John Bolton's decides to vote for.
By the way, you're talking to a guy who was one of the first correspondents on the ground in Grenada when we invaded Grenada because we needed to move 5,000 sheep off of one village or something. It was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. But yes, there are these war hawks.
Well, and Rick, you were there.
Yeah.
They kept having troops parachute in after it was secured so they could get their combat jump ribbons. I mean, the Defense Department was making sure kind of the everybody gets a trophy. Everybody got a ribbon even after the combat was concluded.
I also was in prison with Manuel Noriega. I was sent there to interview him by NBC, and I asked him, did you work for the CIA? And he looked at me, and then he winked, and I said, for who? And he said, Bush. Never forget that day. Steve Gill, good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the discussion. Appreciate it. Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission here, really. It's simple. De-silo the world. We got to stop living in these little boxes. Troops don't live in boxes. They're everywhere. That's what we try to do. I'm Rick Sanchez. We'll be looking for you again right here on Direct Impact.